Good morning. I know it was a little rough for some of us this morning, having to lose an hour of sleep, and some of us didn't have our phones adjusted, but we're here. We are here this morning. Also, it's good to see all of you that are here, and those who are visiting today, it's good to see you. We do have some visitors from some of our past days, Gene and Jerry Wilson, which is right over here. Very good. It's always good to see you guys. It always is. You have a special place, I know, in me and Carla's heart, but also in some of the church people that are still with us today. So I want to thank them for what they've done here. And, you know, that big light over here in the gathering room way up at the top, but Gene was the one that went up there and changed that light. So, but there's a lot that you guys did that I've just never could say thank you enough, but we are very thankful for you all, what you've done, but also it's good to see your faces today. So thank you for being with us today. I know they're just visiting. Their pastor's out. Sometimes when pastors are out, members have a tendency to go other places, but it's okay. It's a blessing to other places as well. But it is good to be in the house of the Lord today. It is always good to be in the house of the Lord, for there are places where this is illegal to assemble, but also in places in the world where there is war and those things, assembling is very difficult and very hard. But today we can do it in peace and joy here today, so we have no excuse not to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen? Good. Now today I want to share with you some things out of the book of Hebrews. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in chapter 4 for a few minutes this morning. I want to share with you, because some of you are believers and some of you are wrestling with the idea, what is that all about? Maybe wrestling with the idea of maybe drawing closer to God, maybe coming to that place of salvation. Maybe in a place as a believer, you've kind of slipped away a little bit from what God has been, that you know and what you've been brought up with. But I want to share with some things about the book of Hebrews. And in chapter 4, there's some things I want to share with you that will help you in your life as a believer. Because I still need help through God's Word. And I want to really emphasize this first piece. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, in the discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart." God's Word is amazing. I've heard people say, "I just can't read it. It's a little boring." It's those kind of things. I want to tell you that it is here for us. I'm going to say this because I say it all the time, and I want you to get it into your heads. You're not as smart as you think you are. God has a way for us to get smarter through Him, make better decisions through Him, and God uses His Word to do that. I want to share with you a couple of verses that's going to help us through this morning, I think. Genesis, you don't have to follow, but if you're fast, you can flip over. But Genesis chapter 1, it says this, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Chapter 131, it says, "Then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended His work which He had done, and rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He was rested from all His work which God had created and made." And in the last book of God's Word is the book of Revelation. In chapter 22, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming quickly.' The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." So what we see here is I have read from the beginning of God's Word and the end of God's Word. And there is so much in those 66 books. There's so much in there that God wants us to know. He wants us to read it. He wants us not just to read it, but to understand it. But not just to understand it, but to experience the power of the Word of God. So when you read it, you understand that Jesus is the Son of God. That He did die and come to save those and redeem the lost. But it also says, thine to follow them the ways of the Lord. It says in many, so many places in God's Word that He is there. He will always be there. There are places when we sin, it tells us to seek forgiveness. There are places in God's Word that tells us how to be a husband, how to be a wife. There are places in God's Word that tells us what happens when God disciplines those whom He loves. There are places in God's Word that tells us when we repent that we are restored into God's rest and forgiven of our sins. There are places in here that tells us that we are not to live like these certain ways that the world says is okay. But God has a different way. There are places in God's Word that tells us there is a place where we can understand what the fruits of the Spirit is. That God blesses His children, that He gives spiritual gifts to His children, that they might serve Him in a way that they could not do it without Him. There is scriptures that tells us in God's Word that there is a Holy Spirit that is coming, but now a Holy Spirit that is here. There is a place for you to read through scriptures that God wants to speak through and to you. And you may be going through a hard time, and God will lead you through the scriptures as you pray. He'll show you places, maybe in Psalms 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Or maybe you're struggling, and God may lead you to a verse that says, I lift my eyes up to the hills and ask, where does my help come from? It comes from the Creator and Maker of heaven and earth. And He may come to a place where you are doing great and you understand that I need to experience it, where it says to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And God's Word is there for us to discern on how to make a decision before you stand two roads. And God will help you follow the right road and to follow His will. And you understand as you read God's Word that it's different than the way the world tells us how to live. And God shares through His Word that there is a right way and a wrong way. God's Word tells us that we need to pray. And we need to seek God's face. But we're not reading it like we should, probably, for many of us. The more you read God's Word, the more you begin to understand some things. And not everything, but you begin to understand a lot more than you knew before you started reading it. Once you have that relationship with God, the lights start coming on, you start reading it, the Holy Spirit starts giving you understanding, and you're still going to wrestle with things. You're still going to wrestle with Scripture 20 years from now. Because we're always going to be a student. We're always going to be learning. And God's Word is here for all of us, knowing that we're not going to understand all of it. But we're going to understand a lot of it as we keep living for Christ. And then there are those points in God's Word when we get to a place in our life where we begin to read out of the book of Luke. What am I doing here? I need to go back to my father's house. That's for the prodigals. The prodigal son, you can understand that you might be the prodigal and you might I've experienced that in my life. Or you might be the father that's up there waiting every day. You're looking for the return of the prodigal. One time you might be reading it as a prodigal. The next time you might read it and God is using you saying, keep looking. Don't give up. Keep stepping outside looking. Don't give up the faith. God's Word is filled with so much. And it takes more than a lifetime to truly grasp it. It is the Word of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And Jesus says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Folks, this is God's world. Satan is doing his damage. But let me just remind you that Jesus has overcome the world. How do I know that? Because I've read God's Word. And I'm still reading God's Word. And I'm not done with it. I gotta keep reading it because there's more for me in God's Word. There are things in God's Word that is going to draw me into the place where God wants, but I may be hesitant. But you know how I know to do it and how I'm going to struggle through it sometimes? It's by being sensitive and listening to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. God's Word never is void. When you read it, God will speak back through His Word. Never say, God does not speak to me. In the very first scripture, we already read it. He's telling you, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He lets us know right out the gate, this is my world, and I created it. Jesus tells us in the end, I am the Alpha and the Omega. God's in charge. And He's given us something so precious that even when you go in, it is so precious, but it is so valuable and available in this, at least in this country. You can go into a hotel room, open up the little nightstand, pull out the drawer, and there would be a Gideon Bible right there for you. You can go into a hospital, and you can ask someone to find you a Bible. Then go over there to one of the shelves or over to one of the drawers. They pull it out, and there is a Bible for you. God has made His Word so available in America that we are without excuse. And if we don't read it, it is our own fault. If we keep going through problems, the same problems over and over and over, and I'm going to tell you, God's Word is holy. It is precious. And He's allowed us to have the Word of God, where He speaks through us and instructs us and shows us and gives us history, gives us what is going on and what's going to happen. He's even given us what is going to happen so that we might be ready and have a peace that transcends all understanding. How do I know that? Because God's Word says so. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's Word is powerful. Do you own one? If you don't, ask me and I will get you one at the end of service. If you have one, are you reading it? Now, my Bibles, some people do not write in their Bibles, and that's fine. You take that as a holy, that's great. Me, I write all over my Bible. That's just me. I highlight, I use all kinds of colors, I use everything. I'm a visual person. That's just how I'm wired, I guess. But there's something about reading God's Word. But you might be like me. You might have a New King James is what I'm reading this morning, but you might have a Holman Bible. You might have NIV. You might have NLT. You might have whatever version that you use, the King James Version, the ESV. You might use those. I'm going to tell you, when you read it, it doesn't matter. It's just God speaking. But I want to so remind you that in the age that we are, when you don't have a Bible, you have a Bible. If you take your phone and you open up an app, you can get all the Bible translations. I struggle reading through that, but yes, it is there. God has made it available. We are without excuse. Amen. And if you don't own one of those and you still have a flip phone, you can still get on the computer and do it that way. But regardless, we have God's Word. And it has been made available, especially in this country, so freely and graciously, where it's coveted and hidden in other countries. But not here. We are without excuse. So let's read God's word. Amen. Let's put it in our hearts today. And if you struggle with it, say, God, give me a desire for your word. Not just listen to the preachers on Sunday or Wednesday, but give me a desire to read your word. And then we move on to Hebrews chapter 4. He doesn't stop there about the word of God, but he also says in verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight. That would be God's sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. There is nothing that is secret to God. Your secret may be 50 years old. It may be a secret that has run through your family bloodline and is a secret. But God knows every secret. You cannot lie to God without God knowing it. You cannot do it. You cannot try to trick God and think you've conned God. You cannot con God. God knows all things. The day you were born, he was there. The day you got your first bicycle, he was there. The day you blew out your happy birthday to you when you were 12 or 13, he was there. He was there when you graduated. He was there maybe when you quit school. He was also there when those bad things happened. Mom and dad may have got a divorce and you didn't know how to handle it. He was there. God was there when some things happened to you, maybe when you were growing up that should not have happened to you. He saw it. He was there when you got married. He was there when you had your first child, your first grandbaby. He saw you when you got your license. He saw you when you started your car. He saw you when you lied to your parents. Because you did this, you did that, you said you were going to do this. He saw you in all the places of your life. He was there when Daddy died. He was there when your mama passed away. He was there in the hospital. When people would visit and leave, he never left. With the pain, you thought life wasn't worth living, and people would go to a hotel room with a bottle and a gun or a bottle of pills, and he was there, and so many people had, and God had intervened, and he was there. Do not think that God has not been in your life and watched your life. He is watching. And I want to tell you, he loves you. He loves you and wants you to be a part of his family. But to do so, you have to go through his son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life up so that you might have life and have it everlasting. How do I know that? Because God's word tells us so. God sees everything. And there is no creature hidden from his sight. In the book of Job, you'll see there are some chapters that people kind of skim over because it can seem kind of confusing, but God is speaking to Job and God says, brace yourself like a man and I'm going to question you and you're going to answer. Of course, Job at the end says, oh Lord, oh, I can't. But God says, were you there? Can you walk the recesses of the deep? Basically, God's saying, I can walk the bottoms of the ocean. Can you? Are you on the cliff when the eagles have their birds? Are you there with the goats in the mountains where nobody even goes? God is telling Job, I am everywhere. Do you tell the sea that it can go this far, yet no more? God sees everything. but not just humans, but it says there is no creature hidden from his sight. Scripture says, even though a sparrow may fall, God knows. There's nothing, even from the smallest insects to the biggest birds, whatever it may be, God knows. Why? Because God's word tells us so. This is God's world. Although sin has plagued it and has shifted, it's still God's world. Nothing hidden. There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. In the end, we all will give an account. Praise God for Jesus Christ. Amen. Because without Jesus, we would be held accountable for all of our sins. But thank you, Jesus, for dying for us, that our sins can be forgiven and are forgiven for those who have received Jesus Christ and have that relationship with God and are filled with the Holy Spirit and all those amazing things. How do we know that? Because God's word tells us. Sometimes I think about that day where I have to give an account. And again, I say, thank you, Jesus. But I'm also looking for that day because I want to see him. And I think you do too. As you get older, you find out that your journey is getting long. We're not getting into it, but the earlier part of the first 11 verses of this chapter is about being in the rest of God. About entering into his rest. I want to see the Lord. I'm looking forward to that. I have a life to live here. I want to enjoy it. It's a blessing. I believe God gives life. Life is a blessing. God gives it to us. Life is a gift. But I'm accountable on how I take that gift and how I live it. I'm going to give an account. And so are you. And let me just tell you, before I move on, sometimes people have to give an account at the age of 19. They don't have 40 years to try to figure out how to get it right. Tells us we need to be right today with God. We need to be right today with God. And then verse 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest, that being Jesus, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. And our confession is this: we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We believe that we have salvation through him. And we need to do this. We need to keep the faith. Keep the faith in what God's word says. You see, the power of Scripture, and there is so much with God's word, of all the stuff we just talked about. But there's a part of Scripture that is amazing. It's learning it and reading it and beginning to understand it. But it's that part of experiencing the power of Scripture. It's where it really hits. Now, there are some things we do not want to experience because it comes into discipline and other things. But there are other things that are joyful and good and blessings that we want to experience the power of the Scriptures. That if I call on the name of the Lord, I shall be saved. And the Scripture I just kind of said earlier, if I lift your eyes up to the hills and ask, where does your help come from? This I know. Then I don't just want to read it. I don't want to just learn it. I want to experience it. I want to experience the power of that verse. I want to experience the power of the other verse. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I might be nervous about something. I might have a little bit of anxiety over it, but I want to know this. My faith is not being rocked because of my situation. But that if I focus on God, basically what he does, he begins to strengthen us in our weakness, that we know if we let our faith come to life, and we work our faith out, God will pick up the rest. And we'll feel a strengthening in ourselves. I can hold on to my confession that I have Jesus Christ and He has me. And as we go through life, we see in verse 15, for we do not have a high priest, that being Jesus, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, but yet without sin. We are not alone. As I said just a few minutes ago, God watches all the things in our life. But not just that He's watching, but He's also put the Holy Spirit into the believer. He's deposited that Holy Spirit into the believer. And we can just understand what that really means. When you walk around today, think about it for a minute. If you're walking into a restaurant, you're walking and you have a relationship with Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. You walk into that restaurant, there are people that, they're all people, but there's a difference. They either have the Holy Spirit or they don't. When you walk into that restaurant, you are a child of God. Remember, act like one. Waitresses and cooks sometimes mess up on meals. Act like one. Act like one. Sometimes the food does come out bad. Give some mercy on it. And you walk into a room, I'm telling you, there's an opportunity. If you just pay attention, God can use you in that room. Because it's not just about you. He's still interested in others coming to Christ. He has also Christians that might be sitting in the corner, far off in the corner. And they might be discouraged or depressed, thinking God's left them. And God connects His children to other children. He connects His children to those that are lost. He knows those who are hurting. We have a Savior who also went through some hard times and was tempted, but He did not sin. This scripture tells us He understands where we are. One of the most powerful, to me, one of the most saddest, most powerful scriptures to me in the Gospels, and there's so many of them, is when Peter denies Jesus. What would it look like if something happened and I said, I don't know you. I never met Phil. I don't know Phil. Me and Phil have a relationship. We work together. His heart would be cracked in half. We pray together. We work together. We serve together. We talk about things that are personal together. And then I turn around and they say, I don't know. Situation happens. I'm like, I don't know him. Jesus understands that. Jesus knows what it's like to be put down. People put him down all the time. So when you go to the Lord in prayer, don't you think that He doesn't understand? He understands. This is not a game we're doing. This is not a game we're living. Our life depends on it. But when your life connects with God through Christ, it's not just now your life depends on it. Now God uses you to help others whose life is dependent on you, maybe sharing the gospel. You doing and serving how God wants you to serve. So we have a Savior who gets us. He gets us. So what do we do with all that? What do we do with all that that we have? That we have God's Word that tells us how to live life, how to be all these things that we have in life, how to do it different than the world. And we're without excuse. How do we do it that we know that we understand now that there's nothing hidden? No, nothing hidden. Everything is out. It's exposed. It's nakedness. It's exposed. That'll keep you kind of tight, right? And we know this, that we need to keep that faith and we need to keep it strong. Keep that confession going in our life that we are a Christian and we're not going to step away from it. But also knowing that we're going to have some tough times and hard times, knowing that our Savior is with it. He gets it. And he's walking with us. And what do we do with all that? It comes to verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You're never going to find yourself more on your face when you're praying in a time of need. It's just the way we are. When we're happy about something, we're going to praise God. And praising God may take a few moments and we're excited and we go on. It's okay. But when we're hurting, we sometimes have moments that the clock doesn't matter. Because the need really matters. And we weep, we may cry. Scripture tells us that we need to boldly go to the throne of grace. This is for believers. Throne of grace can be, you can approach anywhere to the throne of grace. It's not a physical place. This is why non-believers can't go here, but only believers. We may have an altar that we'll use in the end of the service here in a few moments, and we may come to an altar. But I want to remind you, you can go anywhere to the throne of grace. I found it in a truck several times. I found it in a cornfield a few times. I found it in my house several times. I found it in my garage many times. I found it on the road just walking because I wanted to just walk. I found it in a path of hiking. I found it on a mountaintop in Kentucky. I found it in a mountaintop in Georgia. But I've also found it in the jungles of Panama. I found it in the streets on the Autobahn of Germany. And I found it in the woods in upstate New York. And I found it here in this church. And I found it across the street in that church building. And down on those two buildings, State Street, I found the throne of grace there. Because it's not a physical place. It's a place where you, it says to go boldly. I've got something on my heart. And I know where to take it. I'm taking it to Jesus. I might have a physical problem and I'm going to go to the doctor and do what I can, but I'm going to take my problem, the whole package. You see, when you have a problem, you take the package, you take little parts of the package to different places and people. But when you want to get to God, you want to bring the whole package. Because Scripture says He sees it all. There's nothing hidden. He knows it all. And you bring it to Him, and He wants us to come boldly, boldly. I know Him, and He knows me. I'm not going to a stranger. You see, when you come to Christ, you're coming to a stranger, but you trust that stranger. And when you receive that strength, it changes. It's a new relationship. I don't have a new relationship with God. I've had a relationship with Jesus Christ for a long time. Gene and Jerry's had a relationship with God for more years than I've had. They've been able to read God's word more than I have. They've been through some things that in other places that I've never been. But God was there. They've been to the throne of grace many times. And when we go there because we're, it says, that we may obtain mercy. God, this is out of my hands. I need you. You ever go to God and say, I need you to touch this? But have you ever went to God a little bit more and said, God, I just need you to do something? Have you ever been to the throne of grace? You went to said even a little bit further, God, I just need to hear you. I know you're here, but I need to hear you. I need you just to do something. When you get to that state, when you get to that place, you're the throne of grace. You are in the Spirit. You are right there in front of God. You may not see it, but I'm telling you, God is hearing your prayers through Jesus Christ. You are touching the ear of the one who said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in the end, who says, I am the beginning and the end. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Behold, I am coming quickly. You couldn't get on the phone right now and call the president. You couldn't get on the phone right now and call the governor. You'd be on a waiting list. Still then, let me tell you, you can't even get on the phone. Most of the time, you can't call the mayor. But you can go to Jesus Christ, and he'll answer every single time you call. The problem is, we're not calling. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. What have we just done here in the last 25, 30 minutes? We talked about God. We talked about Jesus Christ. We talked about his power of the Word of God. That nothing is hidden. That we need to keep our faith. And we need to approach the throne of grace boldly. All of these things should draw us closer to him. But I know this from experience. The more I draw closer to God, the more my junk comes up. It just does. My sins, my evil thoughts, the bad things I've been doing, bad decisions, whatever it may be. So we have this tendency as we draw closer to God because these things become revealed. Sometimes we want to pull back. I would challenge you this. Step a little closer to God. He's not going to bite you. You know what I think it really is? Some of us are afraid to feel real love. Because the love we experience in the world has turned on us. To really maybe get into a relationship that we're scared of because in this relationship there is one perfect person. And we're not it. Maybe we don't want to draw closer to God because we feel that we get to a place that we do like what we like to do over here. Let me just tell you this. If God is speaking to your heart and you feel, you know that God is speaking, you know. How do you know? You'll know. I can't explain. You'll just know. It'll be thoughts to do right, to do the better thing, the right thing, to draw closer to God. It wasn't your thoughts, but it was that's God speaking to you. If you think you're going to fix it in the next 3, 4, 5 years, you're going to wait time, let me tell you, you don't have a promise of tomorrow. You may be on borrowed time. In fact, really all of us are. We only have what God allows us to have. I don't know where any of us are today. And even myself, I have to go to God because I want to fool myself sometimes. Then I'm okay. I'm good. But if I really want the right answer, I'm going to go to God and I'm going to say, Lord, what's going on with me? Is there any hindrances in my life that's causing me not to be the man you called me to be? You know what, though? Most of the time you're going to know it. But sometimes, out of arrogance and pridefulness, we can fool ourselves and lie to ourselves. God speaks to those who he wants to speak to today. And the responsibility is if he's speaking to you, you need to respond and be obedient to what he has for you. Today, you may have been challenged that you need to read God's word more regularly and get into God's word. You may have been challenged to understand knowing that I can't hide anything from God. You may be challenged today that you need to increase your faith, and you do that by getting right with God and ask for an increase in faith. And you may have something that God is speaking to you about, whatever it may be. I have no clue. But it's time to get it right. It's time to get it right. Because no man will trick God. No man will fool God. Everything is out exposed. I'm going to close with this. There was a time when Adam and Eve would walk around and they were naked and it was fine. Because they had no sin. But when they had sin, nakedness was revealed. I hope you understood what I just said. Father, as we get ready to close here of this preaching, may your spirit move upon us in listening and responding in whatever way and intent that you have. May only yours come to play. That each one here, Lord, will be obedient to your spirit. In Christ's name, amen.